Good morning and welcome to Mechanic Grove Mennonite Church. Let's begin our worship time with prayer. Lord, we gather here with much to be thankful for, your presence, the word. And Father, we are human, so we look at the weather and we say, it's beautiful, the rain you have provided. Thank you for each person. In your name, amen. Some years ago, I heard, in essence, what I'm going to share to you, with you, about a cultural issue that, at least at that time, was one of the big ones. It still is, but it's about men knowing men in that whole LGBTQ thing. So you're sitting in a discussion, and you're there with individuals of both persuasions, and you make the comment that God does not approve of this. And as an example, you go to Genesis 19 and you read Genesis 19, starting with verse 15, where it talks about in the morning. You're probably somewhat familiar with that story. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered, and the men seized him and his wife and his daughters by the hand, and the Lord, being merciful, brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. And Lot begged to go to the nearby town. And so the servant granted him that favor and said, get there in a hurry, because I can't do anything until you're there. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valleys and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground and so forth. And your adversary looks at you and said, wrong. You got to look at the context of this scripture. Look at the context of this scripture. And they take you back to verses 4 through 7, and they read part of this same story to you, and they say, picking up at the point where these men who had entered Lot's house, but before the men lay down, the men of the city of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called out to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them. And Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. And your adversary points out to you, you see, it wasn't about men in relationship with men. It was about forcing themselves on another man. We have a four-letter word for that. That's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And you're left there saying, uh-oh, now you're on the defense, okay? But this person wanted you to look at the context of things. Now, you're sure you're right, but you can't do anything about it. Look at the context. Look at the context. Now I take you back to 2 weeks ago. Remember 2 weeks ago, I shared with you from Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. You see, right there it is in your own book. You're all one. It makes no difference. This whole transgender issue, your own scripture tells you it's okay. It's all one. This is where you need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now it flips and you say, let's look at the context. So you back up a few verses earlier. And what does it say in Galatians, starting at verse 26 in the same chapter? For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then it says there is neither Jew nor Greek. Okay? So when you look at the context of what that one verse was that was cherry-picked, it's not talking about sports teams and facilities. It's talking about being a child of God. And for those who profess Christ, it makes no difference whether they're rich, poor, male, female, whatever. It's the same. You are a child of God. I know this is maybe a goofy analogy, but to the IRS, it makes no difference whether you're male, female, whether you're red, brown, yellow, black, and white. If you make this amount of money, you owe this amount of tax, pay. All right? No discrimination there whatsoever. And so my whole point is, when you look at the scriptures, also include the context that it is written in. It is so easy to cherry pick. And I know that it's hard not to. I have to watch. I pull out a verse and say, aha, see? And somebody else pulls out a verse and says, aha, see? But be mindful that context can be important. Even within the church, cherry picking occurs. And at times, it's used to okay things that the scriptures say no to. Think about it. Context can be important.
Wayne has asked me to read 1 Peter 3, 8 to 12. I chose to read from the Amplified Version, as Ira Herr used to always do. In 1 Peter 3, 8 to 12. Wait. Technology. Finally, all of you be like-minded, united in spirit, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, courteous, and compassionate toward each other as members of one household, and humble in spirit, and never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse. But on the contrary, give a blessing. Pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection. For you have been called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing from God that brings well-being, happiness, and protection. For the one who wants to enjoy life and sees good days, good whether apparent or not, must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile, treachery, or deceit. He must turn away from wickedness and do what is right. He must search for peace with God, with self, with others, and pursue it eagerly, actively, not merely desiring it. For the eyes of the Lord are looking favorably upon the righteous, the upright, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, eager to answer. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil.
Thank you, Ray. We have Vladimir is with us this morning, and Christy needs no introduction, but if you remember, it's been a while back now, we gave an offering for Vladimir's church in Colombia, South America, and he's here. He said he'd like 10 minutes to give an update on what's going on. He's going to show some slides, and so we turn our attention to him, and we give our blessing to what he's doing.
Okay, first, I thank you because you gave this offering in 2018, and I want to show what we have been doing. And also thank this community, because I also was in this community some time, and I also will tell what I'm doing now. Well, the first slide is about what was the plan, what for you were giving the offering. It was to build a church. We bought, could you pass to the next one, please? In 2017, we bought a lot. With a loan to 15 years. Now we are in the fifth year, and we have been paying fine. The plan was to build a church in this lot. This is in Suba, in Bogota, in Colombia, this lot. And in 2018, the Pastor Jaime was here. Pastor Jaime is the pastor of this church. It's a Mennonite church. It's called Mennonite Church of Suba. And we received your support back then. And then in 2020, the design, of course, we were paying the loan and raising funds to build. In 2020, the design was completed. We had many problems with the architect, with the limits of the lot, with the government, because they were not well done. And the use of the land where the where this lot was didn't allow churches, so it really was not usable for what we needed. So in 2021, we offer this lot to sell, and we found a new building, something that was already built that we could use right away without needing to build starting building. Could you please go to the next one? And is this one? What we found is we need to fix it. This is how we bought it. It is big land. It's starting a big one. It starts here. It ends in the ends here. There's a person in the middle. So this is what we found. We could buy it again. To buy it, we paid 20% of already is paid with the different offerings that we were gathering. So I thank the Lord. This one, the price of this one is, well, I didn't make the counting very good in dollars. I'm sorry. It was 600 million in pesos, Colombian pesos, and that would be like $150,000. This is the price. So we already paid like 20%, and I'm glad. The rest is with a loan, but so we have two loans. We are still paying the lot that we bought, and now we are paying this loan. We hope to sell that lot fast, because if we sell that, we can use that money to put here, and then our debts will be lowered. But at least we are having meetings in this place already. We are having church. Can we go to the next slide, please? Here, for example, is the church gathered there inside. It's very big. The space is, there are offices to the right, there are offices to the left, there are two floors. And the church, anyway, is small, but it's growing. We are doing evangelistic campaigns, so bringing people. And we are not paying rent anymore. We are doing the gatherings there. In the second floor, there are several rooms. We are using rooms for children ministries. For example, here is the wife of the pastor, is this woman there. She's with children 10 to 14. This is another room where there is a girl giving lesson to children 3 to 10. We are still organizing. This is how it looks, the second floor, part of the second floor. To this side, there are rooms. To this side, there are some rooms, the stairs, and a kitchen. There are also bathrooms, three bathrooms, and in the middle, there's an elevator. Because this building before was used for people with disabilities. We bought to a foundation who was running the building to attend people with disabilities. The first floor, as I was telling, there are some offices, one side, offices this side. There are two bathrooms, there is kitchen, so it's a big space. The church keep doing virtual meetings. There are meetings of women, church service every Sunday 4 p.m., and Bible study every Wednesday, it's 5 p.m. And there are friends coming here. This one is called, he's called Ian. He's from England, he's a missionary. Here is Linda Shelley, she is in charge of missions in the Mennonite Church, she lives in Indiana, so you are very welcome. If you want any time to go and do some missionary work, we welcome you. We do evangelistic campaigns, and as I was telling, we call new believers. And there is, in the kitchen now, is running a project of bakery. And this project is working Pastor Jaime. He is with other sisters of the church. They are doing bread, and they sell this bread. And the income helps to pay the loan. That's the idea is to improve it, to make it grow so it will help more. And, of course, to pay the workers that are working there. About me, what I'm doing there, I help in preaching sometimes. I lead service sometimes when I'm there, also virtually. That I do that regularly, thanks to God. Here, I'm in a church called Hayat. It's a church for Muslims, for Muslim background believers, people who was Muslim and is becoming to know Jesus. And this guy in the picture, he's from Afghanistan, Ahmed, and recently he gave his soul to Jesus. So we are inviting people who is refugees from the Middle East who live in this area to to know Jesus. And what else I'm doing? Well, I'm with the family, advancing in our situation and my situation with visa. I'm still not receiving residence, still doing the process. Well, 1.5 years I have been doing this process, but well, still doing. With my family, doing good. We have still issues with my wife sometimes, so we are in constantly in counseling. We are doing good, thanks to God. And I have a mission call to Sierra Leone, Africa, so I'm doing contacts with people from Sierra Leone here. I had a meeting with this woman recently. It was this month. She's from Sierra Leone, and she's running a ministry, funding a ministry down there in Sierra Leone. It's called Feed My Sheep. Then I had a meeting with her, and I want to do something online initially, because my calling from God is there, so I'm looking for ways to do something there. And I have a small fund for mission there. This fund is helping my church in Colombia. And going back to the church in Colombia, what we have for this year, the project that we have, is to improve the space that we already have. We would like to remodel these things, to have somehow 3 spaces for commercial premises, and to rent them, and with this rent, help to pay the loan that we have. And also we are raising funds for this to make those spaces and to improve the appearance, to improve the inside, to make it more better for the church. So for this year, the goal that we have is to raise $12,000 to improve the building. And of course, we will keep paying the loan, this loan again, hopefully selling the other lot, paying this one pay completely it in 15 years. So that also we would appreciate any help that you could give for this project that we are having to improve this place that we already have and that we are doing the meetings there. That's the update I wanted to give you. And also thank you, not only for that time, because also you were welcoming me. I have been in this church, and I know you have a heart for the Lord. And I thank the Lord for you.
Well, good morning. I think we've been here for a while already. It's good to hear from Vladimir, and we thank you for sharing with us what's going on. That seems like quite a nice space you've got down there. It looks like a lot of potential. Just a reminder of those who are on the leadership team, our meeting has been pushed ahead a week. It'll be July 6th instead of this week. Again, thanks to all of you involved in VBS. It's always been a highlight of our church's year, and the amount of work that the people who are involved put in is really amazing. And on top of that, so many of you have been doing it for many years, and we appreciate that. New things each time, creativity, games, activities. It's a blessing to the community. This morning we're going to continue the fruits of the Spirit, and you know, those love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. If you have a different version, you might have different words there, especially toward the end. But today, we're looking at peace. So we're not going to talk about world peace and solve that in 15 minutes. We're not going to talk about conscientious objection, pacifism, war taxes, all those things that, especially for Mennonites, are kind of part of what we think about when we hear about peace. But this list of the fruit of the Spirit has to do with day-to-day expressions of God in us. In other words, it's how you feel and how you act from day to day. What's inside you becomes what other people see. It's the day-to-day. So it's how we interact with people around us. And it flows naturally. It emerges from the Spirit in our lives, God's Holy Spirit in us. It is like fruit growing on a tree. Naturally, gradually, even slowly produced by God's life in us. The passage from the passage where we get those fruits from Galatians, the list of the works of the flesh, which is previous to this, those are also produced by a life controlled by the flesh, whereas these are controlled by the Spirit. So from the devotional, which I appreciated from Ray, Ray read a different version, and it talks about peace with God, with yourself, and with your fellow man, believers. That is the exact organization I have for my message this morning. One question that's taken from the council questionnaire before communion is, can you express peace with God and with the brotherhood and all men as far as it is possible? So peace with God, it's essential for our life together. So peace with God, that's the first part. God makes it possible for us to be at peace with him by making atonement for sin. That sin is what separates us from God and estranges us. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Christ gives us access to God, makes it possible for us to be at peace with God. And Paul, when he writes to the church at Colossae, says it like this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is, in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christ's blood is what gives us peace with God. Because of what Jesus did, we can boldly and freely approach God as our Father and come before his throne. Now, this list in Galatians 5, these are fruits of the Spirit. If you've got God's Spirit, you are already one of his. He who does not have the Spirit is none of mine. So that's what Christ says. So we can't expect the fruits of the Spirit to be evident in the life of someone who doesn't know Jesus. Anyone not yet in Christ can't expect to show these fruits, including peace. Now, peace with God doesn't mean that we are peaceful all the time or that we feel peaceful. Think of Jesus struggling in Gethsemane before his arrest. Struggle to accept God's will for his life, even though he knew it ahead of time. Push came to shove. This is the night. And he struggled. He struggled and prayed and struggled. He was not at peace in his soul. But he came to that point. A struggle to crucify the personal desires in him. Many, many Christians and many of you have struggled with God's will as it was revealed in your life. It was not peaceful, but a painful, deliberate aligning of your will with God's will, and that is the way to peace with God. Sometimes it's peace through pain. So peace with God. The second type of peace is peace within ourselves, and I think this is something that maybe is not as explicitly described in the Bible. Peace with yourself. It's more described in terms of trust. Confidence, a settled confidence, a quietness of your spirit, peace within yourself. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. It's a peace is with inside, no matter what's going on outside. You have a peace with yourself. So this peace is not just the absence of conflict, but a confident and quiet stability. So when we are at peace, we are not striving. We are resting, and we're not trying to achieve something or to make ourselves qualify or make ourselves worthy of love or anything like that. We are already worthy in God's sight, and we are trusting. We don't consider all of the voices around us or inside us. Instead, we find a quiet place inside, peace within ourselves. And a good example is Christ sleeping in the boat during the storm, or Peter in prison, awaiting his trial the next day, and he was sleeping. The angel had to come in and wake him up to help him escape. Sleeping in prison, I think, would probably be hard anyway. The cold, wet, dark, chains. They didn't have like memory foam mattresses in there for these guys. For Peter to be sleeping before a trial which determined whether he was going to live or die, that shows the peace that we're talking about. A peace within ourselves, it also comes from God. There's a solid promise in Philippians, it's 4:6-7, that promises peace to guard and protect our minds like a soldier, keeping us from anxiety. Anxiety is the enemy of peace. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus." God's peace replaces anxiety. That's peace within ourselves. So the third way that peace is shown by a Christian is in relationships with people. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. You know, it takes two people to really be at peace if you're in conflict with someone. And the Bible recognizes this. In Romans 12:28, it says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it's possible, as far, and your end of the deal, it's up to it, you do what you can, and you can't control someone else's emotions or their understanding of something, but you can take care of your end of it. We are responsible for our own actions and attitudes. The Bible is full of conflicts. Cain and Abel and Jacob and Esau, right on down through till today. One small conflict that made it into the Bible is from Philippians. You can easily miss this. It's Philippians 4:28. Paul's speaking, writing to the church at Philippi. He says, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." So we can read right by that. But we don't really know anything more about this argument or difference that these two ladies had. They were well regarded in the church from the context, but it was serious enough to be mentioned in a public letter from the Apostle Paul. And Paul wasn't their pastor. He was an evangelist, church planner, but it had reached his awareness that there was a problem here with these two sisters. And he had heard about this quarrel. So it must have been would have been perceived as a strong reproof or rebuke for them to hear their names in this letter read out loud to the church from the Apostle Paul. How much more embarrassing would it be if they knew that their names would be read 2,000 years in the future, these two people who were quarreling in the church? That would have been kind of, I think, a burden for them. And I suspect that we too would be embarrassed if the disagreements that we have would also be aired publicly and permanently. So seek peace. Where do conflicts come from? What breaks our peace? We'll talk about breaking peace and making peace. James lays it out for us. We'll get onto this in our Sunday school lesson when we come to this passage. We eventually get to these verses, but they're part of this discussion of peace. James 3 into James 4. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James is a straight talker. You desire, you can't get what you desire, so you kill, you covet, you quarrel and fight. It doesn't present that church or even the early church in maybe as ideal a light as what we often think about them. Why the early church, you know, that was where everything was holy and powerful and good. People are the same. People are always the same. And these things are in society and they're in us. So this conflict between people it seems like we can dial it up quite a bit from those two nice ladies in Philippi. And James talks about killing and quarreling and fighting, and so that's Cain and Abel. And all of our conflicts displease God. So where do these conflicts come from? They come from when we don't seek or trust God to provide for what he knows we need. We want, we can't get it, so we fight for it. We try to get things we want at the expense of other people. That's where conflicts come from. So where does peace come from? Romans says, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And that's what we've been talking about, the fruits of the Spirit. One of those is peace. The Spirit is the key to us finding peace. The Spirit-governed life produces the fruit of the Spirit, including peace. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you, My peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace comes from Christ and his Spirit that lives in us, but we must make every effort to live in peace. It's not automatic. When I talked about the analogy of the fruit tree bringing forth fruit naturally, gradually, of a certain type defined by that tree, as a contrast to a Christmas tree where we apply ornaments on the outside. They're there all of a sudden. They don't come from the tree. There's work to produce peace and these other virtues. It's like that tree, that apple tree, is working all summer to produce that fruit. We might say it happens naturally, but it happens through the energy of photosynthesis, the sun, the soil, roots, everything metabolically in that plant is working to produce that fruit. And so it is with us. We can say it comes from God, but we have to work at it. We have to work to be peacemakers. So in the world, among nations, a peace treaty often follows a conflict. Like you might, when one nation finally wins a war, then there's a treaty at the end to establish peace, to set the terms of surrender. For instance, if you drop a couple of atomic bombs, then you can have peace. I think it should go without saying that in relationships, for instance, in marriage, you don't drop the bombs or you're not going to have peace. Peace isn't where you end up after the fight. It's preventing that kind of discord and conflict that's not pleasing to God and it's destructive in our relationships. For us, it's better to compromise, to respect the other person, and to do without what we are trying to get. Turn the other cheek, guard your tongue, and make peace. It would be nice if peace just happened, but we have to make it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And we are like our Heavenly Father when we reconcile with other people who are estranged from us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that in the message this morning we can see your need for peace, your provision for peace. You make peace with us. You initiate and bring peace to those who were once far away, and you bring us near to you, and you break down the barriers that separate us. And this is our call, to be peacemakers, to work at tearing down the conflicts, differences, and barriers that make us estranged and angry with other people. We pray that we can go forth with an awareness of this and increasingly live our lives in your Spirit to display the fruit that comes from that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. May you go in peace.